This year is being dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Chaya Bas Yaakov Zichrona Levracha. The fascinating thing about this year is when I was contemplating and davening for a title, it then struck me that the shir that Mirtz Hashem will share together today is mamish exactly the same shir I gave for Hanukkah last year, Wonders of War. And the fascinating thing is that the Mari Makomos are totally different, but the same conclusions, the same upshots, and there must be something about this question and something about the answers that we're going to present, both last year as well as this year, that beg us to focus in on these inyanim, on these ideas. The question I'd like to raise, which is a question we raised last year, is in the Al Hanisim we say, Al Hanisim, Val Apurkan, Val Gruos, Val Chuos. We thank Hashem for all the wonderful things that He's done for us, the redemption, the mighty deeds, the deliverance. And then we thank Hashem for Al Hamilchamos, for the wars, Shasita Lavotenu Vayimim Ahem Basman Hazeh, that You did for our forefathers in those days at this season. And then we end the Al Hanisim with all of these things that have happened are Lahodos Ulahalo L'shimcha Gadol, to give thanks to You, God. So if the whole idea is to give thanks to Hashem, I can understand to give thanks to Hashem for the Nisim, for the Niflos, for the Purkan, for the Yeshuos, for the salvation. But why are we giving thanks to Hashem for the Milchamos, for the wars? That's the question that Rosh Chodesh asks in Lev Shalom in source number 4. How do we express the Lahalo Lahodos? How do we understand the ability to thank Hashem and to give praise to Hashem for the Milchamos, for the actual struggle itself? And then the question Rosh Chodesh asks is if indeed we're thanking Hashem for the Milchamos, and that's normal, because we're thanking Hashem for the salvation in the wars, but the obvious question is that not included in the work on Shabbos? If we indeed have this element of thanking Hashem for the Milchamos, for the war, why then don't we have at least one day, a chiyuv in Suda? If we were saved physically, should we not have a physical party, a feast, May Simcha and Hallel, of Mishta, of Simcha, of thanking Hashem for the, in a physical type of way? And it's interesting, the Tor in source number 3 notes that the customary indulging in feasts on Hanukkah is not obligatory because they are days of Hallel and Hodah, and they're not days of Mishta and Simcha. And because it is indeed different than Purim, which was completely physical salvation, we don't have this Mishta and Simcha. But nonetheless, as Rosh Chodesh asks, can we not have one day of a chiyuv of obligation because we were saved physically? Those are the questions that Mirtz Hashem we're going to work with today. The first approach of the two is found in Jones, where he explains, he moves to source number 4. He says that the Yevanim didn't begin immediately saying, you can't learn Torah, you can't keep Shabbos, you can't do Bris Milah. Tarbut Yevanit ve'diru b'itiyut ha'kalau filosofia. U'la'an la'an m'shchu'at rova am achareihem. Ad sh'betoch Yisrael m'jastad t'nu'at ha'mijamim. The Yevanim, and he describes this very beautifully in Source 7, is very much like the way you attack in a physical war. You don't walk into a city and suddenly start shooting on the streets. You first have a matzor, you have a siege around the city, you stop the water from coming in, you stop the food, and then slowly but surely you then begin a frontal attack. And likewise, with a spiritual attack, the way the Yevanim, the Greeks, attacked us, was not immediately saying, you can't do Shabbos, Mila, Chodesh, Torah. Had they done that, the Jews would have taken to the streets with arms, or were not, he describes in verse 9, and we would have protected ourselves. But rather, they worked ingeniously by first saying to the Jews, you know what, you want to learn Torah? That's fine. As long as he notes in 9, As long as you don't have the Torah of Hashem's Torah, the Torah of Hashem, you want to learn Torah like Shara Chochmos, you want to learn it as an intellectual book, as an historical narrative, Gesund to hate. You want to have matzahs on Pesach like you have bagels and lox as a cultural identification? Fine. What they objected to, what they were against in their core, was the passion of Judaism, was the spiritual connection of the Jew to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to Hashem. That is Lashkicham Tarasecha. They wanted us to forget Tarasecha, the Torah of Hashem. They wanted us to lose that spiritual component and almost divorce ourselves from the soul within us and make ourselves completely Chokhmah beings, purely knowledge, without having it affect who and what we are emotionally and spiritually. And only toward the end of this tkufa, this period, did they put on these xeros that were more intense. It's very fascinating that this explains in source 10. He says, V'kach gam na'agu l'gabei Hashem. We find this idea of trying to work on a slippery slide slope by the Shemen. They didn't say you can't light the menorah. And the proof, they could have taken all the oils and dumped them out. They didn't do that. Why did they just impurify them? Because they said the oil is there. And some people even argue that this type of oil is allowed when the whole tzibur is impure. You can light this type of oil. They were saying, you want to light the menorah, light it, but light it in an impure way. And that, my friends, is symbolic of the whole philosophical approach. Keep Torah mitzvot, but keep it in a tumadik way. Keep it in an impure way. Keep it in a way where you don't feel this passion and this connection to Hashem. And that is why, in source number 11, Shaddai Kanigdalot, the Pasuk Shirim is a description of the Tamidei Chachamim, that they see with their eyes the sakana, the danger, with small, slight changes, that most people would look at these gradual changes and think, don't worry about it, we can still keep Torah mitzvah, it's not such a big deal. But the Tamidei Chachamim, great people, have foresight vision, are able to see the consequences. It reminds me, when I read this piece, of my grandfather's grandfather, Reb Shachri, who lived in Cincinnati in the turn of the century, in the 1900s, whose picture is found in the Smithsonian exhibit of the American Jewry at the turn of the century. And he's there for burning the first Reform Siddur. What was in the first Reform Siddur that he found so objectionable? It left out Brich Shmei and Yikurim Purkan. It left out the Aramaic sections. And he saw with that foresight. He said, you leave out the Aramaic sections, you don't know where it's going to lead. And 100 or so years later, we see the veracity of his words. And this explains what the Maccabim were all about. The people at that time were so entrenched in being Misyavnim, which means that they were Jews who davened in the Beit HaMikdash in the morning and then went across the street to the gymnasium right afterward. You can have your cake and eat it too. And the Maccabim understood that this is not Judaism. This is leading a life which is betraying the essence of what Yiddishkeit is about. It's not about going through the motions. It's about being able to stand firm without watering down what true Torah is about. Torah Emes, Lashkichem, Torah Secha. What was the greatness of the Maccabim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in them? Hanei Shalal Melchamos, double underlined in 11, Shea Beshuach Hashmonim Ruach Melchama. The Allah Melchamos is thanking Hashem that he inspired these individuals to stand up for their spiritual rights, to stand up for a Judaism that they understood that needed to be intact, that you can't compromise when it comes to Torah Hashem. The fact that the Shmonaim even fought and didn't take this attitude of, oh, it's okay, so we'll like Tuma Tikoya, it's okay, we'll do this, it's okay, we'll do that, and going down the slippery slope, the fact that they stood firm, that's the Allah Milchamos, that is what we're giving thanks to Hashem for. The Netzivot Chaim picks up on this idea, and he says, when we're talking about the symbolism of the candle, which is the main focus of Hanukkah, this is clearly seen in the idea that we just spoken about. The Gemara Psochim derives from the Pasuk in Sfanya in Source 13. Ba'etahi at this time, achapes et Yerushalayim ba'neiros. I will search out Jerusalem with candles. The image of a candle is the image of searching out. The Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the Kolfeitz Kol Chadre Batem. The candle of Hashem is compared to the soul of man that has the ability to look into the depths of a person's heart. And this is what we find about the idea of a candle. A candle represents chipus, searching. And you see this by the candle itself. The candle doesn't say, well, I've been around for 3 hours, so now I can take it easy and just, you know, flicker away. No, it looks for a source of fuel. It's searching. That's the flickering at the end. I want to get more and more ability to light. The ner represents the chipus, the searching of not being satisfied with the minimum, not being satisfied with what you have, but searching for even more. And this is the Mesiras Nefesh that the Hashmonaim had. And this is what we're giving thanks to Hashem for, this Mesiras Nefesh, the chipos, the searching out that the Hashmonaim had. And this explains why, when the Gemara and Shabbat says, in the following year, they establish these days as days, lahalo, lahodos, to give, behalo, da, to give thanks to Hashem, it doesn't say, and the following year they establish these days to light the candles. Because the idea of the Chag is a idea about Lahala or Lahodos. It's the idea about giving thanks to Hashem. It's the idea of dedication to Hashem. The Hadlokas Haneros, the lighting of the candles, says in Sivos Chaim, there are different opinions obviously, it's not part of the Halo and Hodot. It's not part of the thanks, but rather it's the symbolism of the Mesiras Nefesh, of the giving of themselves, but totally to which we're giving thanks. And this explains in 15 why an ani, why a poor person has to sell his shirt to buy candles, to light candles. Usually we say, Anas Rachmet Patre, if a person is forced and can't light, so they don't have to. It's not so much that we're making them light the Chanukah candles. Rather, we're making them go to the fullest extent possible to light the Chanukah candles because of what the Chanukah candles demonstrates. And that demonstrates our Mesiras Nefesh, our ability to give but completely of ourselves to Hashem. And this is a deeper understanding. When the Chazal say at the end of 15, Haragyo Benir Havin Le Bonim, Tamidei Chachamim, one who's careful about lighting the Chanukah candles, will have children who will be Tamidei Chachamim. Many people light Chanukah candles and their children aren't necessarily Tamidei Chachamim. What's Pshat? Haragyo Benir means that if you are careful in what the ner, the candle, represents, which is the chipos of Torah mitzvot, which is the searching out of Torah mitzvot. If you were mechanech your children laharich, to be able to appreciate the Torah and to be able to give yourself over completely for the sake of doing a mitzvah at all costs, if you show them that motto, if you demonstrate this, then you're going to raise children who are talmidei chachamim. You know, it reminds me of just now, I took my daughters in Yerushalayim to run a couple of errands. And Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of traffic, Hanukkah in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, and I saw that I wouldn't make it back in time for Hadlakas Neiros. So we stopped by Kevel Rochel to daven Mincha, and then, you know, drove home and came in as we say, on the wire to teach them. But this, again, instead of pulling over the road to take that extra 10 minutes detour to daven by one of the Mekomos HaKadoshim, if you're going to go out of your way, if you're going to be Moser Nefesh, and you show the chashivus, the erech of something, of davening mincha, of davening in a Mekom Kadosh, even though it took some extra time, a little bit more pressure on the driving home, this is what Haragul B'nir is about. This is the idea. And that's why, says in Sivas Chaim, you want to know what a Lev Tov is, a good heart? It's a heart that does not stop to have a milishol, from having a passion and desire for more Torah, more mitzvos, and never be saveya and never say enough. My friends, this is the idea of Allah Milchamos. We're thanking Hashem for the ability to afford. We're thanking Hashem for the ability to be Moser Nefesh. We're thanking Hashem that we understand the model of the candle, that we can't take life for granted, and we can't just say, I've done enough. Shalom alei nafshi. The Chashmonaim serve for us as a symbol of what does it mean to push ourselves beyond. And that's why, no trust in 18, we don't have a day dedicated to the physical body of celebrating a meal. Because by the fact that Chazal didn't obligate us, correct, if you have a Suda and you have Halo and Odah at the Suda, so that's a Suda of Hanukkah, 100%. But there's an obligation to have a Suda. And that's because Chazal wanted us to focus in on the spiritual aspect of the day, on the spiritual aspect of Lahalo Lahodos, to give thanks to Hashem for our ability to connect to Him, to give thanks to Hashem for the whole relationship that we have with Him, that He inspired us in this Mochamos, and He helps us through this Mesirus Nefesh in life. And therefore, our focus is totally on a spiritual level, not on the physical. And this leads us to the idea we've spoken about in the past in Source 19 of Rav Pinkus Zatzal, where he says one of the messages that we learn from Hanukkah is Lagarish et Achoshech, to be able to push away darkness. And one of the greatest darknesses, he notes, is the darkness of Machshevet HaKatnut, of thinking of ourselves in small terms, where we don't think that we're able to succeed, that we don't think that we're able to push ourselves. And this is one of the greatest tragedies of the human condition, that we limit ourselves spiritually, that we say this is to the extent that we can keep Torah mitzvos and not beyond, that we don't push ourselves to having a closer relationship with Hashem. Reminds me of a question that a girl in Shanabed asked me last week. It was a question about commitment to Torah mitzvos. So I said to this young lady, I said, I'm not going to respond to your question, but I'd like to, in a Jewish fashion, ask a question on a question. And I said to her, do you believe that being a Shomer Torah mitzvos, keeping Torah mitzvos, being an Eved Hashem, is 24-7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day? And she looked at me and I said, well, if you believe that it's 24-7, then the commitment has to be 24-7. And so many of us get stuck in there. We say, you know, God, I'm with you in davening. I'm with you in brachos. I'm even with you in the way I get dressed in the morning. I'll go that far. But, you know, give me some space. You know, I need some time off. I can't have you in my head all day. Like, you know, enough is enough. No. Chanukah ala milchamos is recognizing that our lives is about one great battle. Thank you, God, that you've given me this opportunity to be able to grow spiritually, to be able to push myself constantly in all of my challenges in life to become the best Eved Hashem I can be. This is a great piece in Source 20, where the Saba of Narvaduk says, Af pam eini choshev, Af pam eini choshev al davar im ani yachol lasoto. I never ask myself if I'm able to do something. Ella im ani chayav lasoto. But rather, am I obligated to do something? Ki im ani chayav lasoto, azai gamuchal be'emet lasoto. Because if I'm obligated to do it, then I am able to do it. If I see that this is what needs to be done, then there's no option. We have to climb up the mountain. We have to move forward. The candle, that small spark, that ability of that small candle to light for 8 days is such a powerful model for us. It's the model of chippus, of searching, of never tiring to see how we can move forward, of searching for ways to grow. And it's also the model of how that candle keeps on burning, even though it seems so small. And how we, although we may look at ourselves in a istaklus of katnut, of smallness, how much koach we have, how much ability we have to move forward, how much ability we have to grow, if we don't limit ourselves, if we don't put a ceiling on our lives. I'd like to share with you, before ending this first section with one more idea, I'd like to share with you an email I received a week ago from an individual who I call a virtual student. Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of them around the world, a lot of virtual students. A woman who wrote me an email responding to this very idea in last year's shiur, and I immediately asked her if I could share this email with the tzibur, and she graciously agreed. Obviously, names and locations will be left out to protect identity. She notes that I'm going to read now a number of selections from this email. It is so powerful. We got married 13 years ago as secular Jews, but from traditional families. We grew up in X place and after a year of marriage, migrated to Y. I always had this desire to move forward spiritually. And in the beginning, my husband was very laid back about the path I was going along. But after a while, it started concerning him because he could see how serious I was wanting to be. And he actually became very negative about Judaism and wanted me to commit to putting a ceiling on my growth. This was obviously something I could not commit to doing. The spark had been lit and I could not extinguish this. I just craved to move forward and understood this was the way of life I wanted to lead. It was exceptionally difficult as I had to move extremely slowly and was prevented from doing so of much of what I wanted for the sake of Shalom Bayis. It got to a point, though, where we started speaking about separating as the situation was not working. I wanted to keep Shabbat, and my husband wanted to play golf. I wanted to keep kosher, and my husband wanted to socialize with friends and non-kosher restaurants. At that stage, we were childless, but my husband wanted me to promise that if we had a child, that child would not go to a Jewish school. The struggles were enormous. I could spend many hours of stories of the ways I had to do things, sometimes very secretly, to try and follow the little bit of Torah that I could. I cannot begin to explain the hours I spent davening to Hashem to open my husband's eyes up to the Torah, the truth of Torah and its beauty. My sitter to this day contains pages that are crinkled from tears shed, pleading with Hashem to help us. Without going into the whole stories, I know how limited your time is. All I can say, Baruch Hashem, today, my husband is a frum and observant Jew, fully committed to the life of Torah. We are blessed with a beautiful boy of nearly 5 who attends a frum Torah school and only knows about Torah mitzvos. The rabbi was so involved in our path and assisting us was a rabbi who did a kiva program which I intended for 18 months just on Ashkafa and drummed into us how if our intention is for spiritual purpose and we are sincere in what we are doing and want, we are guaranteed that Hashem will help us. And then she continues in one more essay that I just like to add, one more email. She says, the bracha that I focus in on in the morning, she says, is the bracha pokeach ivri, that Hashem gives light to the blind, gives the ability to see. She says, I do not take this bracha lightly, because I am fully aware of the tremendous bracha Hashem gave to me and to my husband, having opened our eyes to Torah, the greatest gift of all. And here she says, my husband has just returned from a trip to Eretz Yisrael, where he went for 2 weeks to learning yeshiva, and was there learning some days 12 to 14 hours a day, and loving this. He did this 2 years ago and got so much out of it, which we as a family benefit from immensely too. If you had asked me 8 years ago if this is how he would choose to spend 2 weeks of his time, I would certainly hope for it, but more than likely would have probably just laughed and not thought it credible in the slightest. Like the angel telling Sari Manu she was going to have a child. This is how far-fetched it would have seemed to me at that time. Yet this is Hashem's world. Anything is possible. We just have to try, and Hashem will help. My friends, I cannot even add anything more than this woman wrote. What an inspirational role model of someone who has this spiritual dream for herself and for her family. And davened and davened and yearned, that candle growing brightly, stronger and stronger, to be able to be at this point in her life, and now, Baruch Hashem, inspiring so many others. My friends, wherever we come from, whether we're from traditional families like this woman, or we come from observant families like others, we can never forget that we can't put a ceiling on our growth, and that we need to constantly move ahead. And the real goal of moving ahead is, as the La'avdecha be'emes, Rav Dov Yaffe notes in 22, that when we light the Chanukah candles and we're being lahodos olahalel and we're thanking Hashem, it's the feeling shayinu rigulim leistapek b'tpalut me'anes v'odol Hashem. We can't live life taking things for granted. Elo nidrash mitanu, but rather what's demanded of us, litorer me'anes, to be awakened from the miracle, to see Hashem in everything, to see Hashem in every footsteps we take, that Hashem is motzi lechem min ha'aretz, that Hashem takes out the bread from the ground, that wherever we go in life, shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. This is the idea of what Chanukah is about. Chanukah is lighting that spark that we should feel godliness at every turn of the way. Hinei yidiyah shel shkachato yitbarach b'chol hadrachim, says the Chazon Ish, shadam derech zeh kol gufei Torah. The Chazon Ish notes, you want to know what the whole essence of Torah is? It's feeling Hashem at every step of the way. And this, he notes, is if a person is able to give thanks to Hashem and feel the bounty that Hashem has given us and be aware of this bounty and thank Hashem for this bounty, then that will be a greater schus that Hashem will continue to give bounty on us. As the Sefer Chinuch writes, that one who's careful about Birkas HaMazon, their food will always be plentiful for them. Because when you thank Hashem for the food, that opens up the pathway for more. On Chanukah, when we feel this closeness to Hashem, when we push ourselves to greater levels of lahalo, lahodos, greater levels of giving thanks to Hashem, to feel Hashem's presence in our lives, that stimulates even greater shefa of chesed, a greater amount of kindness and goodness that Hashem will bestow upon us. And therefore, he concludes this essay in 26. On these 8 days of Chanukah, we have so many opportunities, tens of times, to say Al HaNisim, in Modim, Noda, and each time we say it, it's not lip service. It's to feel that connection to Hashem, to feel that passion with Hashem, and to be able to integrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our life. I'd just like to add, before moving on, Mirtz Hashem to the second level. It is no wonder why in Hasidic thought that Zos Chanukah, Mirtz Hashem, this Thursday, the 8th day of Chanukah, is the climax, the culmination of Chanukah. And the Hasidic writings speak about that this is the Gemar Yom HaDin. Unlike Hoshana Rabbah, which we normally look at, this is the end time of judgment. It's really Zos Chanukah. What's the difference between the two? So Rav Meinzlish gives a very powerful imagery. He says, quoting from a Hasidic Rebbe, that there are two ways to wake a person up. There are more than two, but two classic ways. One is called an alarm clock, right? It makes this loud noise. And we know very often, we all know this with our alarm clocks, we just press the snooze button and go back to sleep. And the other is a much more gentler method. In Israel, we say we pull up the trisim, we open the shades, we turn on the light. And the person also wakes up and sees it's daytime and is much more ready and raring to go. Rosh Hashanah is that alarm clock. It's the shofar that wakes us up. And for some, we get jolted out of our sleep and we connect to God. But many of us go right back to sleep. So Hashem says, I'm going to give you another way, a kinder way perhaps, to wake you up. It's the candles. It's turning on the light. And Hanukkah is a time to reconnect to Hashem in perhaps to make up for the lost opportunity we had in Elul and Tishrei, to feel that connection and to feel that dedication, the Hanukkah, the recommitment. And when we do so, then we are able to be able to have another type of Yom HaDin for Hashem to judge us. But now we are so much closer to Hashem, and the judgment, with God's help, with the Siyata Dishmaya and the Shefa Shel Chesed, will be one of Bracha and Hatzlacha for everyone. If the first level is Ala Melchamos, thank you Hashem for fighting wars. Thank you Hashem for inspiring us not to live a life of mediocrity and a life of apathy, but to be able to push ourselves in whatever area spiritually in life to move above and beyond ourselves and our family. The second is the idea that we mentioned last year in the Hemiyah Chamuni, the Talna Rebbe in 27 and 28, where the Sfas Emes points out that not only do we thank Hashem for the Tzara, we thank Hashem for the Yeshua that comes from the Tzara. And that there is an aspect that when we understand, when a person goes through a difficult time, they're able to live through this time as a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. So when the salvation comes, when you're able to see a certain light at the end of the tunnel, so then that hodah, that thankfulness, is going to be of a much greater degree. This is really the pattern in Judaism. Vayere vayhi boker. First there's darkness and then there's light. You need to get through the darkness to be able to appreciate the light. And the light takes on a whole different spectrum when you've gone through a darkness. It's very interesting that Sivas Shalom in 29 quotes the Rambam that notes that Hanukkah are days of Simcha and Hallel. They are days of happiness and thanksgiving. And this is, parenthetically, the difference between the Tur, who says it's not a time of Yimei Simcha Mishteh, and the Rambam that says it is a time of Simcha, and they're really arguing about, usually, Simcha's connected with Mishteh, with a meal. Ein Simcha L'Basar V'Yayin, and since on Hanukkah we don't have Basar and Yayin, meat and wine, do we have Simcha? So the Torah says no, the Rambam says yes. And this really is the difference in how people greet each other in Hanukkah. Some people wish people a lichtigen Hanukkah, a lightful Hanukkah, Chagurim, a holiday of light. And some people wish people a freilichen Hanukkah. It should be a happy Hanukkah, Hanukkah Sameach. Or in the English, you know, those cards or those banners, Happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah is the Rambam Shita, that there is Simcha in Hanukkah. In Israel, most people say Chagurim Sameach, and that's a combination of both. What is the idea of Simcha, of joy by Hanukkah? So says in the Siva Shalom, Ki Atoda Haru'uya, the only way to give proper thanks, Lo Titachem Ki Ma'idei Simcha, has to be through joy. And without Simcha, you can't have joy. And this is why the Mizmor L'Toda, which is Kapitel Kuf, which is the Mizmor saying thank you to Hashem, in that Mizmor, we have, Ivdot Hashem B'Simcha, serve Hashem with joy. And he notes that the Mizmor that's connected to Hanukkah, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayit L'Dovi, Kapitel Lamed, the 30th chapter of Psalms, the first letters spell out, mixing up the first two, the Mem and the Shin, spell out Simcha, spell out joy. Because the Kapitel talks about, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Rabbi L'Davi talks about dedication. And the Siva Shalom explains, Shekol Yehudi L'char Shavar Alav Mashper. Anytime a person has a breakdown in life, spiritually, physically, whatever's going on, so then you need to rededicate your house. And that's the Kapitel Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayit L'Davi. And that rededication, that ability to pick ourselves up after difficulty, after darkness, and enter into the light, that's a simcha, that's a joy. What is the definition of simcha? So he says, the definition of simcha in 31, the definition of joy, is to be sameach b'chalko, is to be joyful in your portion, liyo merutza b'anagara b'arei mitoch amun ha'shleima d'komada avi l'chmana l'tov avi. It's to recognize that whatever we have in life is exactly what Hashem wants to have in life. And that Shlema, that ability to feel that I am in the place where Hashem wants me to be, that is what Simcha is all about. That is the definition of what we're talking about, that Hanukkah is Yimei Simcha. It's not hololos, it's not, you know, gaiety or levity. It's a simcha of the deepest nature. It's gam kielach begeit samavit lo irara ki atai madi. Even when I go through challenging times, even when I'm at the doorstep of real great challenges, lo irara ki atai madi, I understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, wants this situation to be happening right now. Obviously, this room for tefillah. Obviously, this room for stukka and for chesed and for whatever schusim we can get, clearly. But it's also being merutzah that if I am here right now, this is a situation I need to embrace and be able to work from the situation knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best for me. And that's why he notes in 33, this is the idea of Hanukkah the Rambam writes about, that there are times of simcha and challah. And Hanukkah Kaiser returned to Hashem from the power of the miracle. And the power of the candles light up the Or HaGadlus, that hidden light. It lights up the Or HaLukut Yitzbarach, the light of godliness. And we, when we're able to see this godliness, we're able to feel Hashem's presence. We're able to feel, when we look at these candles, the Kirvas Hashem. And when we look at those candles and we feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our midst, then we're able to feel the simcha of Kol Mal D'Avid Rachmana L'Av Avid, that whatever Hashem does is ultimately for the good. And this is the challenge that the Siftei Chaim notes in verse 35. When a tzara, when a challenge comes onto a person, whether individually or collectively, and then there's a salvation, it's very much like a person who's been in the dark and now is able to see the light. And obviously, to the extent of the darkness, that's the extent that you're able to appreciate the light. Hanukkah is clearly living in a time of darkness, of sorrows. Coming out of them, we appreciate the light even more. Lahalo lahodos. But perhaps, my friends, you're thinking, not always do we come out unto the light. Sometimes we never see the light in our lifetime. Obviously, we know it's all light, it's all good. There's only one bracha of Atova Meiti, but we don't say that bracha in this world. We say the bracha of dying in MS. So we ask ourselves, living in this type of world, how can we also have lahalo lahodos? One of our original questions for the milchamos. The milchamos, we're saying, are good. The struggles is what allows us to appreciate salvation. The darkness is what allows us to appreciate the light. The broken house allows us to appreciate the rebuilt house. But let's say we don't see the light. Let's say we're just in darkness. How then can we be lahalo lahodos? So here we have to understand the idea that even in the time of Hester Panim, even in the time of darkness, we understand that this is a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to us. It's a time where we redouble our efforts in tefillah, in chesed, in coming closer to Hashem. And that ability in its own right, even if we don't see the end of the tunnel just yet, that we're still in the darkness, but in that darkness, we now search for that light, that chippus. We search for that connection, that ability in the milchamos, in the darkest of times, to be able to search out Hashem, to be able to hold on to our faith at all costs. That's the greatest hallowed Allah, that's the greatest praise that we give to Hashem. That Hashem, we hold on to you even if it makes no sense. To have Hallow Noda when we see the end of the tunnel, that's a gift. That's Hanukkah. But Hanukkah is also about we light in the darkness. We light the darkest time of the year, the nights of Kislev and Tevet. That even in the darkness, when we're in the darkness of Galus, we still have Hallow Noda. We still give thanks to Hashem because we hold on to our faith at all costs. That we know that whatever Hashem does for us is for the good. And that the process that we need to go through is the process that's ultimately going to make us the best Hashem we can be on Hashem's terms, not necessarily on our limited human understanding terms. And my friends, the koach, the ability that we have to do this, the ability
tree that we have in Hanukkah to thank Hashem for all our milchamos, for the work on the Yeshuos, the salvation of the world, but also for the milchamos, the war themselves, for the struggle themselves, is why the candles are kodeshim, why they're holy. Because as some Rishonim point out, they are an extension of the Beis Hamikdash, which was Hekdesh, which was holiness. Our menorah in our homes represents the continuation of that menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. Our homes become a connected to, an extension to the Beis Hamikdash. And we know the Pasuk in Yeshaya and the asterisk in 40. The Pasuk says, Beit Kodshenu Sachdalad Yud, V'tifartenu Asher Hiluluch Avoseinu. This is the house, the glorified house that our forefathers praised you in. The place of the Beis Hamikdash is the place that the place itself screamed out connection to Hashem. The place itself was a place of Asara. Nisim Nasu Beis Hamikdash. It was a place of miracle. It was a place that you're able to feel Hashem's presence. And therefore, Chazal understood, as the Ramban says about the mitzvah of the Hadlaka Samenorah to Aaron, Shochaka Yemes Lo'olam, yours is forever. Because even when the Beis Hamikdash is no longer here, and we don't have that direct communication to Hashem, we don't have that direct feeling of spark, of realizing Hashem's presence is here, Hanukkah comes around in the time of the darkness and reminds us that there is a place called the Beis Hamikdash. There is a concept called the Menorah of Shekhinah Sharab Yisrael, that Hashem's presence is felt among us, and that whatever we are going through, we look at that menorah and we're able to tap into that koach, that strength of the Beis Hamikdash, that strength of the menorah, that strength of Hashkoch Pratis, of Hashem's divine providence. And that strength allows the person to be able to go through the challenges that they go through in life. Because it's not by accident, it's not by naught, it's coming from a purpose. It's coming from a larger picture. I just had the schus of being Mekayim, the mitzvah. I should never have the need to do this, of being Menachem Avil, somebody today whose husband died in a very tragic way in front of her and her daughter last week. And one of the things that this woman, who's a tremendous, tremendous Bala Samuna, tremendous Koach, she kept on saying throughout the time that I was there, life is a puzzle. We see a puzzle piece here, we see a puzzle piece there. We just need to recognize that there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle. We don't see the whole puzzle, but we know that there is a puzzle. And when we know that there is an entire picture and all we see are small puzzle pieces, it helps a bit. The pain is still very real. The tragedy in our eyes is still very great and awesome. But we have to understand, and that's the strength of the light of the Hanukkah candles, the light that connects us to the Beis Hamikdash, that it's coming from a place of Hashkocha Pratis, a place where Hashem is watching over each and every one of us like a Ben Yochid, like an only child. And it's interesting, as our final idea for today in 48, Rav Reis points out that not only is the menorah connected to the Beis Hamikdash, but the menorah has also the concept of connecting us to the future. The end of 48, we have the drasha of Chazal, and vayhi or, and it was light. This is the oros shel Mashiach, this is the light of Mashiach. And we know the Sfarim HaKadoshim point out that this or HaGanus, this candlelight of Hanukkah, is similar to Arachti Ner L'Mashiachai. I have prepared a candle for the Mashiach. When the Mashiach comes, the Oros Shel Mashiach, it's going to be a time, as the Tiferet Shlomo points out, where we're only going to be able to have Tara, Kedusha, goodness. It's going to be a time where we're only going to choose Tov, goodness, and we're only going to be able, and we will constantly be able, to have Hallel and Hodaya, give thanks to Hashem for everything, because we're going to be living in a world of Kol Kulo Tov, a world of goodness. When we have these Hanukkah candles, these small flicker of the Vayhi Or, the Oros Shel Mashiach, Our Hanukkah candles don't only connect us to the past, they connect us to the future. They connect us to a time when there will be no more milchamos, a time when there will be no more wars, a time when it will be so clear the hand of God that the Navi Hoshea tells us it won't be emuna verastich li b'emuna. Till now you've been using emuna. But in the future it will be v'adat et Hashem, there will be knowledge of God. And there will be only a time of the bracha tova meitiv. There won't be any negative in the world, only positive and only goodness. And that has to be our hope when we look at those Hanukkah candles. That yes, we are only looking at a flicker, only looking at a small light. We don't see the whole picture. But that small light has to give us a glimpse of hope. That there will be a time when there will be no more need for milchamos. It will just be hallow and hodah for being able to have a relationship with Hashem of clarity. But right now, we recognize that we are in process to that end goal. And that process involves the milchamos, involves the struggles. My friends, what we try to see today in summation, today being Hanukkah, number of nights left, is really the light of clarity. It gives us the clarity to understand that we can't live a life of apathy, a life of spiritual desolation, a life of saying, it's okay if I live a watered-down Judaism. It's no big deal. It's the light of the milchama, the light of Mesiras Nefesh, the light of the ability, the chippus, the searching out, to give ourselves up, but totally to Hashem. To daven that our pages are drenched in tears. To make those extra efforts of the kevarachal experiences of our life. To be able to have children who understand what does it mean to be Moser Nefesh for Torah? What does it mean to be Moser Nefesh for Chesed? What does it mean that life isn't about being comfortable? Life is about doing good things. Life is about connecting to a spiritual reality of God's presence in this world and acting on that. Those are the milchamos. Those are the battles that we battle all the time. And we thank Hashem for giving us the ability to have a battle to fight, and that to the extent that we recognize how Hashem is with us at every step of the way, to that extent Hashem will give us the siyata d'shmaya, the help from above, like in this email, to answer tfilos l'tova. And ala milchamos are kipshuto, the wars themselves, because the wars represents the struggles in life. And it's the struggles in life, vayihi erev, vayihi boker. You need to have darkness and then light to be able to appreciate the light. So one level, because we went through the milchamos, because we went through the wars, we can have such a hallow and hodah. We can have such a thankfulness to Hashem. We know what sorrow, we know what the pain is about, and we know that we've gotten out of the pain, and therefore we light these lights of thanksgiving, because these are lights of clarity to thank Hashem for salvation. But even when we go through the darkness and haven't yet seen those lights, they may be lights of the Mashiach, the lights of the future, the lights of hope, the glimmer of hope. Nonetheless, we thank Halo and Oda for these milchamos, because this is what brings us closer to Hashem. This is what makes us, forces us to feel this Hashkocha Pratis in Hashem. This is what makes us be able to draw on that bank account of our lives, of the Hashkocha Pratis that we've seen in the times that are good, as we spoke about last week, to be able to feel it even in troubling times, that this is an opportunity for me to connect, this is an opportunity for me to grow, and to challenge myself in these wars, not to lose hope, not to lose faith, but to be able to hold on even tighter, and that we're able to have that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all costs. And when we light the menorah with these lights of clarity, then we connect ourselves back to the Beis HaMikdash, back to the place, the point of connection. And our lives then become like a trampoline effect. The lights of Hanukkah have to be taken with us into our everyday lives. That we stare at those candles for the first half hour, singing Shiros and Tishbachos. We say Sukei Tehillim, we daven to Hashem. It's an Eirat Son, it's a Gevaldik time to daven after we light candles, to feel that closeness to Hashem, and to be able to take that to inspire us to reach higher levels, and to take that light and allow it to give some warmth and some comfort in the darkest places of our being, that we too will be zocha for the lahalo, lahodos, and ultimately of Yemei Mashiach, where everything is going to be the brocha of Hatova Meitiv, that will only see the goodness, the open revealed goodness in this world.